Well, I wasn't really sure what to talk about. Sometimes, I don't know if this is for other people, but I have to come up with a topic. There's different things I think about, and I just can't settle on one specific one. But I did decide to talk about thankfulness. It's something that I want to grow in, and sometimes it's easy to take things for granted. To give a full context in thankfulness, we also have to look at the other side of the coin, which is unthankfulness. I think often if we can see both angles, it helps. Someone who is unthankful, discontent, or ungrateful typically are miserable themselves, and they kind of make things miserable for people around them. So we'll look at the negative side first of unthankfulness, and then on a positive note. And we usually have a lot of complaints about random things. Could even be small things in life. I'm sure most of you have, especially as you get older, you've dealt with someone in your life, at least. Sometimes it might just be a bad day that someone's having and they're ungrateful that day. But we've surely run into some of it. I thought of a few places in the Bible. I looked them up too, I guess. The children of Israel, they were not very thankful for the manna that God was giving them. They wanted their meat and their onions and whatever else they had in Egypt, and that did not please God too well. Nabal, I don't know if he knew what David did for him, but he was not very thankful. I guess when David had asked him for some help or some food, he was kind of short with David, and things weren't going to end well for him. Also, in Jesus told a story about, I guess it's a parable more, about a man going out hiring people, and the people that he hired in the morning agreed for a penny a day, is it translation? And then the people at the end, when he was paying them, started with the last ones, and he paid them a penny as well, and the ones that had worked all day were not very happy about that. They were not thankful. They had bartered their life. The 10 lepers that Jesus cleansed, 9 of them did not return good thanks. Maybe I'll make this interactive. Are there any more accounts that any of you can think of where people in the Bible, like stories where people were unthankful?
Jonah?
Yeah?
Was it Naaman? Was it Naaman that he asked him to go get, just go wash in the...
Right.
But he wasn't very thankful for that.
Right. He was, Naaman was not very happy that they got a little bit of attention, I guess.
Ahab wasn't thankful for the vineyards he had.
That's true. Ahab was not thankful.
Yeah, when I look at the man in the beginning of John chapter 5, in the water that is stirred by the angel,
mm-hmm.
where Jesus heals him, my impression is he wasn't grateful at all. Even through among the bus when the Pharisees were saying, who is it that healed him on the Sabbath? And as soon as he found out his name, he's like, that's the guy right there. He just healed him. He hadn't walked in like 38 years, and yet he seemed pretty ungrateful to me.
Yeah, I guess the mic is not picking it up.
King David, he had to go spying from a rooftop looking at a girl, and later in the Psalms, did Nathan rebuke him? I would have given you 100 concubines and wives. Why do you have to take this one? He wasn't thankful for the wife he had.
Yeah, David was unthankful for the
wives he had.
Wives he had, right. There's a couple verses I would like to read in Romans 1, 18 through 22. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident with them." "For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been seen clearly, being understood through what has been made. So they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they do not honor him as God or give thanks." That's what I was wanting to point out there. "But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5 is, "But realize this, that in the last times, or last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful." And those are all within those, all those bad attributes. "Unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malice, gossip, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." And Jesus also had something to say about the ungrateful. He said that in Luke 6, 35, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil men." Now what about things that are a little closer home? I'm sure most of us have heard some sort of unthankfulness within our families or maybe ourselves. Maybe you children give a toy to someone that is yours and they're like, "No, I wanted that blue one." Like, just, and you feel that ungratefulness. I think I've seen that before. Or like food that is served. Children tend to be cookies and adults sometimes, but where something is served and it's just like, "Why do I have to eat this? Can you make something better or maybe something different?" Can any of you think of any examples that would be worthwhile to avoid of ungratefulness?
Don't make too many options available.
What's that?
Don't make too many options available.
Yeah. We'll focus on the thankfulness. Often when we're ungrateful, we focus on the bad things in life and consequently overlook the good. I think that's easy to do. You point out the times a person fails without pointing out the times that they do not. Easy to find something wrong without finding the good. These sort of things just make for a very unthankful attitude. I had to think about the things in life that we are not given a choice in that we could be unthankful for. Some people have questions like, "Why am I born? I didn't have a choice in that. And now I have to make the choices. I'm forced to make these choices." Is that something worth being unthankful for? I don't think so. Or a disability. Some of us, we know people that have a disability. Maybe they're born that way. But they could be very ungrateful. There's this young man, how young he is, 27 or so, down in a little village where we live in Honduras, that, or Panama maybe, we're still working on a house there. that doesn't have any legs. So he has like a crutch and a stick, and he just hobbles along, and he will go machete grass, stuff like that. Anyways, he could be very ungrateful. He seems like a happy person, from what I can tell. But I was just thinking, like, those sort of things, a person may feel like they have a right to be ungrateful, but I don't understand it all, but I don't think that's right to be ungrateful. It just makes life more miserable.
I think that part about not being grateful to be born, it's a lack of recognition of God's generosity that you were allowed to be born at all.
Comes from a selfish viewpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was thinking about that a little further. This is a little off topic, but you know, there supposedly some girl sued her mom for giving birth to her. I'd have to look at the details again. I saw it in passing, but I was just thinking about that, and it's really not the parents' fault that the children are here. That's how you look at it. The person that we are, this being, this soul, is from God, and it was like the location or anything, all this stuff, this soul, this, I'm trying to describe it, this being that we are without the body is not from our parents. And the way we think, the personality, all these sort of things that are given from God, and we can't blame our parents. God chose us to live, and he wants us to live for his glory. All right. Enough on the negative. 1 Timothy says, chapter 6, Paul says to Timothy, I guess, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied with contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. You know, it's a blessing to be around content or thankful people, but the atmosphere is way better. The other one drags us down, even someone that's trying to be thankful. Hannah, Samuel's mom, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, she was very thankful for her son, and she dedicated him to the service of God, Prophet Samuel. Again, the 10 lepers, I'll mention that one that came back, I'll just read it here. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Now, I think you pointed out, some of you know more history about the Samaritans than I do, but that was pointed out because the Samaritans were kind of the scum from the Jewish viewpoint, so he was the only one that turned back, give thanks. What are some things to be thankful for? That might be a better way to run our minds.
Shelter from the cold.
Mm-hmm. Shelter.
A warm blanket.
A warm blanket, yeah.
Life. Names written in the book of life.
Right.
Blood coursing through our veins.
Doctors who can help us.
Doctors, yeah.
Clean drinking water.
Clean drinking water. Some people struggle with that more than we do here.
Spouses, children.
Mm-hmm.
Each other.
Right, each other, houses, children.
Trials that refine us.
Trials that refine us, yeah.
Yeah, we need to be.
A bowl of warm soup is really nice.
It is. A bowl of warm soup on a cold day, especially. Yes.
A spouse. When people get married?
Yes. Our spouses.
Warm water.
Warm water. Yes, in Honduras we haven't had warm water, so. It was kind of a blessing. When we came to the first service station coming through Texas, it kind of shocked my wife. She turns it on and like, nice warm water. I'm like, whoa. There is warm water there. That's where we are at. The house is not set up, so. Most times it's fine.
But it does this country has more warm water than we realize. Mm-hmm. Most of the world doesn't have the luxury of warm water.
Definitely nice.
I'm just guessing on that.
Yeah. I know clean water is a difficulty in a lot of countries.
Mm-hmm.
I thank my God on your behalf. That's what Paul said about the Corinthians.
Oh, I thank my God on your behalf. Yeah. I'll read a couple verses about some instruction about Thanksgiving. Ephesians 5, 3 through 5 and 15 through 20. But immorality and impurity and greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. There must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. I'll just read a little more for context. For this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men but as wise, making most of the time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dispensation. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Philippians 4, 4 through 14. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is a good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at last, you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Now, not that I speak from want, but I've learned to be content. I wanted to point that out. He learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my afflictions. And then 1 Timothy 2, 1-2. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for the king and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And then in Hebrews 13, 15 through 16. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. We also know Jesus gave thanks before he ate. He's mentioned that several times. Anyways, I didn't have that much, but that's all I have. Looking at for thoughts, questions, comments.
Yeah, I appreciate that reminder, Lloyd. And I always, when I think of this, and I've had times in my life when it was easy to be thankful, and then other times when I found myself not being so thankful, or having a harder time being thankful. But when we talk about, like, the children of Israel, and let's just put ourselves in their shoes if we can, I mean, how many people in here, if you had to eat the same thing for not even a week, are you going to be complaining? Like, we're so used to having such a variety, we have the same thing for a couple of meals in a row, and we may be complaining, like, why are we having this again? And it's good food. And another thing they complained about, you know, they were traveling across the desert, and they come to a spring of water, and they were probably thirsty. I mean, I've never had too much experience, you know, taking a walk in the desert or whatever, but, and now the water, there's water here, and then they get to the water, and it's bitter. Like, how many of us, as humans, are not going to be complaining? Just, but then in our everyday life and all the other, I mean, many situations. Here's another thing, and I'm sure I've pointed this out before, but I think I've seen this in my life and in other people's life. If there's somebody that is at peace and thankful for what they have, I mean, there will be other people that have more, maybe much more, to be thankful for, and they'll be envious of the person, of the thankful person, because it seems like they've got somehow they must have more than I've got, and they do. I'll just point out they do. If they're thankful and the other person isn't, they do have more. It doesn't matter the amount of goods maybe that they might have. So just appreciate a reminder. May the Lord bless.
Something on the lines of what you said, Leroy. Like, the Lord's given us all these blessings, and I've often thought that, like, there's no reason that any of us should get impatient with each other, unkind with one another, because just all these blessings that He's given us. And I think all the blessings are so great, it's like you can't even express your, like, how grateful you are to receive the blessings. You know, like, just the simple little things in life. It's like no one can outgive God. Like, He's, like, the best giver there is. And I think if we look at, like, all the fruits in life, like, a pineapple, like, reveals that, like, surely God is good. You know, like, Teo told me, he's like, man, God didn't have to make fruit taste good. And I was like, it just, all these things just reveal His glory. And when we were dead in our sin, He had mercy and called us into His light. And that's, so just praise the Lord.
Yeah, I appreciate what everyone has said. Thank you, brothers. Yeah, a couple thoughts come to mind. Like Brother Darren said, I mean, there's certain things we need. I mean, vegetables, fruits, meat, bread, whatever. But, yeah, God could have just made it so that it
Like water, for instance. Water doesn't have any particular taste to it, but it is a blessing that, like, when you're really hot and you drink water, is it that it tastes good? No, I don't know. There's some sort of satisfaction that comes with cold water when you're really hot, especially going through the desert. But it's not necessarily the same as eating something that tastes really good. But it's a satisfaction that God has designed in us that blesses us, right? And so it's like these things, all these different, you know, vegetables, fruits, whatever, they could just keep us alive and sustain us. But then we wouldn't necessarily have taste buds that, or even the sense of smell that, as I understand it, help us to enjoy what we're experiencing. And it just, like Brother Darren said, it just testifies to how just the grace, the kindness, the generosity, the amazingness of God. And just thinking about the travel through the desert, because the New Testament helped us through Jesus to see really the character of God. Jesus says, if you've seen me, just look at how I am. You've seen the Father. And Jesus tells us to pray, like, your God wants to just give you, like, a father, like, how much more, if any father among you, though you're evil, any father among you, if your children come to you and say, hey, you know, give me a fish, will you give him a snake, will you give, you know, whatever. I mean, God wants to give you these things, and he wanted to give the Israelites those things, but, you know, as our brother pointed out, the issue wasn't the fact that, okay, you've got manna, be happy with that, you're not getting anything else. I don't see that, and I don't get that feeling. I get that if they had come to him humbly and gratefully and said, thank you so much for the manna, but is it possible we can have some quail too? Is it possible we can have some cold water? Like, if they'd just been grateful, then it wouldn't have been an issue. And I think, like, Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 points to that event, that 40-year period in the desert, and warns us to not behave that way. And for me, I'll just confess to you, for me, quite often when I'm enjoying all these things that God's given me, the foods, all these things, I'm, you know, in my heart, like, thank you, God. But as soon as something doesn't go quite right, let's say, for instance, I cut myself or something, in my heart, I'm complaining. And then I catch myself, what am I doing? This is the sovereignty of God allowing this to happen. Why am I complaining? So I'm not grateful. So, yeah, when things don't go my way, I need to really work on that, because it's like I forget when I'm complaining, whether I actually say something, or whatever, that I'm rebelling against the sovereignty of God that's allowing that to happen. It's for my best interest, even though I don't understand it. And like Brother Dwayne was pointing out about us being grateful for the struggles and the trials and stuff, I really wrestle with that. But I know that's what the Bible tells me, and I believe it. I want to believe it. If I really believe it, I should be behaving in such a way that reflects that, and I'm just not there. But yeah, there's some thoughts there.
Yeah, I've been thankful for everything that's been shared today. It's been very edifying. Appreciate what you did, Brett, there. That was good for my children. Probably things that just came from an angle that hopefully it sticks a little better for me and for them. And it's really, really good. The message you gave, Lloyd, is really just good as well. Just really needful for me to hear those things. I was reminded of James chapter 2, and just, I don't think for myself, I don't think it's so much that I don't have times of being thankful, but I'm afraid I'm too much like this man that's being described. And however, it says it's something about blessings and curses coming from the same mouth, brethren. But brethren, these things ought not to be so. And so, I don't want to be double-minded for sure. That does not belong to someone from, you know, from the household of faith. And I just need to grow in those areas. And thankfully for the message of thankfulness. And it's easy to fall into pits and traps and just get a little bit discouraged with overwhelming tasks and you know, things that you don't know the outcome, and tight schedules, and difficult things to discern and walk through and go through. And these are
are all meant, I think they're meant, you know, from God's standpoint, they're meant to refine us. And then that's just our decision, whether we're going to let that fire trial purify us, or whether we're going to let Satan, like Satan has his hands in these things too. He wants the same events. He wants the same events to go his way. And that just describes the fight for the man's soul. And so I think we can be edified by what we heard today in that area. And for myself, I just want to grow in these things. Whatever we do or say, we should be doing it with thankfulness.
Yeah, thank you, Lily. I acknowledge that thankfulness is something we need to be reminded of. The need to be thankful, something we need to be reminded of. Appreciate you sharing on that. Colossians says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. This is in chapter 2, verse 6. You know, like, who when we first received the Lord and received the truth and the acknowledgement of his goodness and the forgiveness of our sins and the light, like, who wasn't just really, really thankful to be delivered so then here he says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. In other words, we should continue to walk out how we received him. And then it goes on in verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Lloyd made mention of this, but how it affects others. But if you have a bucket, and you start filling it with water, if once the bucket gets full and you keep on pouring water in it, what happens? It overflows, and then what happens around it? All the water saturates the ground around it, and we ought to be overflowing with gratitude. And the sure result will be that it will affect the surroundings. So I'm thankful to be reminded. I also thought of there's a song. I don't know if this is a scripture verse, but there's a song that says, "To a thankful heart, a double portion comes." And I think the reason for that is not necessarily because. I think Leroy pointed this out. I was a little distracted and then came to my senses when you were talking, but not necessarily because a thankful person actually receives twice as many goods, but he's thankful. And therefore, you know, he recognizes that what he does receive is something to be thankful for, and everything is a double portion. His half glass full of water is more than he thought he deserved, and so he's thankful. And to the unthankful person, it's half a cup less than he thought he deserved, and he's unthankful. Anyway, appreciate the message and the comments. Thanks.
Thank you, brothers, both of you, for the plain words spoken. It's good to be reminded of these things, though. I think of probably the single one thing that I'm most thankful for in life on a daily occurrence is just God's Spirit given to us to go through life with us, to direct us, to comfort us, to chasten us, and just lead us through life. It's a thing that was good enough that Jesus said, it's good that I go so that this thing can come. And I think sometimes we forget about that. And we think about how it would have been to be around when Jesus was around, you know, to see him sitting up on the mountain preaching that sermon, to see him doing the miracles he did. And we forget that his own words are, it's good that I go so that the Comforter can come to you. And, So I would probably among the many, many other blessings that flow from that, I believe as other brothers have mentioned, God is the giver of all good things. He is goodness in Him. In Him and from Him comes all things that are praiseworthy and good. So, appreciate it, Brother Brett's work there. There's a little bit of work tied up in all that, and I'm glad you left it up so we can get some pictures and so on as a reminder. Thank you for that. As you look through that, you realize that if you'd have kept going, eventually we're going to come up to Jesus, His birth, His walk, His crucifixion, eventually His resurrection. And to someone who listens and he sees these kingdoms arising, they're falling, as he said in one situation, it was like one fish swallowing another fish. It can be a little bit unnerving just to see how humanity has, I think one brother mentioned, the disciples of falling away and then repenting. And where are we? Where are we and all that? I don't think it matters too much. My thoughts were led to Revelation 11:15 and the culmination of all this. It says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever.
I was very grateful for the message. There was, we were talking about Darius the Mede earlier, and I was thinking about this account this last week, and this is a great version of being thankful, and then Daniel's account of I would think his response to the king after being thrown into the lion's den was really maybe even a good example for how our attitude should be for being a Christian. And so I figured I'd just read this portion of the account. It says, the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, He will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. As an account for Darius being grateful for his friend that served God faithfully, and he could recognize that. So if we can live gratefully and faithfully before others, maybe that can reach hearts of stone. But anyways, be grateful.
Amen, Brother Lloyd. Domino effect or like a contagious thing for being thankful. It can go on. I think a remedy for being unthankfulness is
just taking a towel and stop washing someone else's feet, you know, serving one another. Get your mind off yourself and focus on someone else. Serving others, Jesus came to serve, give us an example. And we're having a pity trip, you know, Stop serving someone else instead of, feel like you're entitled. I'll mention that in a second there, but and I appreciate all the comments. Jenkins, Pastor Dwayne's, I say that when no one's around, but I'll say it publicly. Surely my cup overflows in all the blessings I have. You, Brethren, a big one. But there was a young girl, she was, maybe you've heard this before, Jeannie Yoda. She was born with spina bifida, the back bone was in a Jeep. Oklahoma, and I don't know if you not remember now, but she was in a wheelchair most of her life, if not all of her life. She never proved to be over 4 feet 10 or whatever, but I remember in a Bible class, it was a Wednesday night class, so it was in Oklahoma, and they talked about thankfulness, and I said, Jeannie, what are you thankful for? And she went, you. And I always think of that, it makes me cry. And she's dead now, she died about 8 years ago. Jeannie Yoda, she was adopted by David Jordan. And I remember that, being thankful for that. And surely our cup overflows. And we're going to be thankful for the most thing, Brother Will says. The Eucharist means giving of thanks, right? The giving of thanks, the Eucharist, very shortly. And a couple of more points would be the millennials. You know what a millennial is? Paul? A millennial? Okay. It's people who were born after 2000. The millennial generation. It would be lots of Wayne and Walter's children and Teo's and buddies. They're born after 2000. They call them millennials. And someone was saying in a recent message I listened to that the millennials, they have a lot, they have low esteem. They struggle with low esteem. They're very narcissistic. They can look in the mirror all day long and say, hey, how pretty I am. They are absorbed in the digital things. And they are they're caught up, and they drop off and they can't hold a job. They hop from one to another and many other things. And they're in a very entitlement. They have the entitlement mentality. The world owes me a living. You know, the world should bow down. They're very unthankful. This is the millennials, the standard thing of the millennials. And we've got a lot of millennials there, but that's the skin. And the opposite of that is to be thankful. I share one, and this didn't happen to me at work last week. I'll share it. And I still got to grow in my thankfulness. So my last delivery last week, and it was 2 days ago, whenever. And it was past Lime Peel. You know where Lime Peel, the cave is, well over there, Neo Show, in the hills. It was Moose Drive. And I went there, and five-mile drive, and on the instruction ticket, it didn't say anything about don't park down on the thing, or on the valley there, because there was snow and mud. And so my district manager, has already told people out from getting stuck. And I'm just a day driver now. I'll do nights once in a blue moon, but so there wasn't much problem. And the ticket didn't say, on the thing, driving instructions, park up there. So I parked right down to the house. And a young girl came out. So you're going to have a tough time getting out. And then her mother came out. And boy, oh boy, her mother was a very vulgar, overweight, nasty woman. And she just said, didn't you see on that ticket? You're not supposed to park there. And I showed her the ticket. I'm saying, ma'am, the instructions didn't say that. It could have been, you know, several weeks ago or something, but not in this one. And so I'm in there, and I'm just reversing. I'm hitting the gas, and gravel is flying, and mud is flying, and she is really upset. You know, she's yelling at me like this. So I have to call up the store and say, hey, I need a tow. And so he was coming to get me. And Brother Brett knows about this situation because I'm there for about a half hour. And she's really ecstatic, and she's really upset with me. And while I'm there, I found out later she calls up
Domino's and says, your driver is stuck and he's messing up the gravel, he's messing up the thing. I think I'm entitled to $100 worth of free pizza because your driver is really messing up this thing and all that. And so I'm trying my best. I apologize. I'm doing my best. It's still not working out. I called my brother Brett. I say, hey, Brett, because Sarah was over when I was over Yolanda's, and so I didn't have, you were the first one. I said, Brett, can you pray with me? I'm stuck in a ditch, and I've been praying, and I want to get out of this ditch, and can you pray? And so he prayed for me, and then I said, I'll call you back in a little while if I ever get out of this ditch. So the tow truck came and got me out and all that, and the lady, she was really upset with me. It made me one of the customers that you dream about not having a customer like that. But I pray for her so many times, but it shows how much growth and patience I need for people. And I am thankful for her because she showed me how weak I am, how weak I was. I mean, if I was 19 to 20 years old, when I wasn't a Christian, a Catholic, I would have said to her, well, I would have told her, hey, listen, lady, I'm going to sue you for you messing up my car. You ain't getting any free pizza. I'm taking you off the domino list. You ain't getting anything. And just shut up. I would have said things like that to her, probably. I don't know if I lost my job, I wouldn't say shut up to her, but how I changed, and I still got a long room to grow. And I'm thankful for all things. The Lord be magnified.
I guess just a couple more comments. Yeah, again, thank you, Brother Lord. I guess one thing I was thinking about that made the connection with the whole gratitude thing, I don't know what you all think, but like, for instance, we look at the accounts of Jesus feeding the 5,000 or the account of Jesus feeding the 4,000. I don't know if every account records this, but definitely the one in John chapter 6, I think most of them do, where it's interesting how here's God in the flesh, here's Jesus, where, I mean, he's making this food come out of almost nothing, right? I mean, 2 loaves of bread and 5 fish, or 2 loaves of bread, two loaves of bread and 7, and I think it's, or 2 fish and 5 loaves, and then 1 count, 7 loaves. But anyway, basically, had a little bit coming into so much, and yet at the very end, he has them, you know, gather up all the pieces in the baskets. And specifically it says in the text, so that nothing would be lost. And I find that really interesting. It doesn't really say what they did with those, with this. I mean, did they just distribute to the people as they were going back home? Or it doesn't say what they did, but it says twice in John chapter 6, so that things would not be lost, both when he gave the instruction and when they actually did it. And it just seems like there's a connection there with gratitude. Like Jesus is teaching us to not just go, oh, my Father is like a running faucet and it'll just constantly bless him and keep flowing, so I don't have to worry about it. I can just be kind of reckless with what he's giving. No, he's teaching us to, in our behaviors of being very careful with what God gives us, that it seems like being good stewards of it, that it seems like that there's a connection with that with being faithful, it seems. So, and then the other thing I just want to keep reminding everybody that when you see the words grace, and you see the words something to do with thanks or thanksgiving or whatever, in Greek it's actually the same root, same whether it's the exact same word, one of them might be a verb, one of them might be a noun, an adjective or something, whatever, but it's the same root. It's the same root idea. So sometimes I think when we see the words grace, maybe just marinate on that and see if maybe you can't see the word that when God has given us this grace or this kindness or generosity, however you want to say it, that there is an expectation of gratitude in response to that and stuff. And, yeah, so.
Each day I'll do, each day I'll do,
I see.
Yeah.